addicted to something is usually bad news, but now there's evidence that getting hooked on chocolate may not be such a bad thing. Yes! Just so long as it's the dark variety. Well, that said, is chocolate really addictive? I reckon it is. But to find out, earlier this week, Chris met up with antioxidant expert Roger Corder and addiction specialist Peter Rogers.
So, Roger, what's the grounds for thinking that, just like the chocolate manufacturers, would love us to think that chocolate is actually good for us?
Well, essentially, a number of population studies have shown that there's a lower risk of heart disease in people who eat chocolate regularly. And although this is a rather surprising finding, a number of research groups over the past 10 years or so have been looking at how this may be explained. What are the effects on blood vessel function that may be protective? And we've done our own research in this area and show that the potent effects modifying the function of endothelial cells, which are the cells that line blood vessels. And these effects could definitely be associated with a reduced risk of heart disease. They're exactly the same sort of molecules we're looking at when we study red wine, and there's so much similarity between the effects we're observing and the molecules that we're studying that there's a parallel between consumers of highly tannic red wine and those who like to eat dark chocolate in terms of the effects that are observed.
So it's got to be the dark chocolate.
Absolutely. It's dark chocolate and no other choice. Cocoa as a drink may be an alternative, but milk chocolate, white chocolate, these have virtually no flavonoids in, none of these protective polyphenols, and therefore there's no scope for health benefits through consuming these products.
A lot of people criticise people who say, oh, drink red wine because it's good for you, because they say you couldn't possibly eat enough or drink enough to have a health-promoting effect. Is that true with chocolate? You can actually eat enough to make a difference?
I think we're at an early stage in defining what are the best chocolates to have, and there's certainly some out there that are high cocoa solids levels with polyphenol levels which you would say are consistent with the beneficial effects that are observed. And so if you're talking about sort of 75 to 85% chocolates, yes, there are some, but we need to have labelling of flavonoid levels on chocolate so that people can identify exactly what the best ones are. And that's coming, I'm sure.
And talking to you, Peter, a lot of people say, I am addicted to chocolate. Now, it sounds to me from what Roger's saying like it'd be quite good to be addicted to chocolate if it's going to make me live longer.
Well, possibly, although the other good news really about chocolate is it's not very addictive. In fact, I'd say it's hardly addictive at all. We feel addicted sometimes, but we think that's because we rather struggle with this food. The way to sum it up very succinctly, I think, is to think of chocolate as nice but naughty. We have conflicting attitudes about this food. We like its taste, its flavour, its texture, but it's also food we need to eat with restraint for actually a variety of reasons. We actually have in our head that it's an unhealthy food. Eating a lot of chocolate is indulgent. And that negative attitude is balanced against the nice part of it. And trying to resist a desire for nice things is difficult. And actually saying, well, I'm not going to eat chocolate because it might make me fat, it doesn't make the thought of chocolate go away. Actually, it makes it more intense, if anything. And when we think about it more, we elaborate that thought. And that is a sort of feeling that we then label as a craving. And craving then brings to mind the idea of addiction. So these things get linked in our heads together.
Are there any chemicals in chocolate, if you analyse it, which could conceivably be addictive?
Well, this is one claim, that what's special about chocolate is that it contains compounds, chemicals that have psychoactive effects, mood elevating effects, and this is why we like it, crave it, and perhaps even are addicted to it. Actually, the evidence for that is pretty weak. Our own studies show that, where we've tested that idea directly. We don't find that the cocoa solids, the key component containing these psychoactive chemicals, or potentially psychoactive chemicals, actually really gives much of a mood lift beyond a bit of a caffeine buzz, and we could probably get a stronger buzz from a cup of coffee. So it doesn't do any more on that. So we don't think that plays a role at all.
What about this idea that women say, I crave chocolate at certain stages of my menstrual cycle, either day 14 when I'm about to ovulate or just before I'm about to menstruate?
Well, again, we think that has more to do with our attitudes to chocolate and how we use this food than our biology. So one thought here is if our biology puts us in a bad mood, perhaps we feel it's legitimate to indulge in eating chocolate. That will help cheer us up. But we don't think there's anything special biologically about chocolate that gets rid of that bad mood, other than it's just pleasurable to eat.
So, Roger, the best combo then is some red wine and a bar of chocolate.
Absolutely. Although, actually, I prefer chocolate and coffee in the morning and a glass of wine in the evening.
But isn't coffee bad for you?
There's lots of evidence that show that routine coffee consumption decreases your risk of diabetes. So to say it's bad is not really based on the evidence out there from population studies.
So how much chocolate would I need to be eating on a daily basis in order to get the benefits?
Of a very flavonoid, polyphenol-rich chocolate, about 30 grams would be a good choice. And once you start exceeding that, then you've got the problems of consuming excess calories. So we really need to have a good choice for consumers of high polyphenol chocolates, well-labeled, that people will recognise.
So there you have it. Chocolate is not addictive, but it is very good for you as long as you eat the dark stuff. 30 grams a day, and combine it with a glass of very nice red wine from the southwest of France, Roger tells me is the best place, and you should be set to live to, what, 200?
Something like that.
That sounds brilliant. I shall be going home and having some red wine.
Mount Yui, you should live to be 5,000 years old then.
Well, I don't eat that much chocolate. I do like dark chocolate, though, so I feel vindicated. Well, that was Roger Corder from St Bart's and the Royal London Medical School and Bristol University's Peter Rogers speaking to Chris earlier this week at the BA Festival of Science in York.
Got an email here from Brendan Finlay. He's listening in America and, in fact, in New York City. He says, love your show. I listen to the podcast on the subway and I always have people stare at me because I'm usually laughing. And I like your show. It's very educational and also fun and entertaining. If you'd like to get in touch with us, email chris@thenakedscientist.com.
Fancy listening to The Naked Scientists in your bed, on your way to work, or even at work? Why not subscribe to our podcast? For more information, visit nakedscientist.com/podcast.
You are listening to The Naked Scientists with Dr. Chris and Dr. Kat. Now,